You said in your podcast, greens are eaten during the rains. True. To address this, I am back to the topic, at the risk of repeating myself. After the podcast on the topic on number 21, 24, 27, and 84 last week. Well, let's start first. You are tuning in to the Audible Weed Walk podcast number 85. This is Nina welcoming you. This broadcast is happening in a little unusual time, but when you listen to this podcast through my YouTube channel, Edible Weed Walk, it will be in the usual time. Essence of my last podcast, tune in to your tradition. Find and adhere to ancient recipes. Give a new twist, all you want, but for eating edible wild plants, you must essentially tune in to here and now. Your ground realities, your weather, your changing climate, and the wisdom of the land, irrespective of whether you are new or an old soul in the place. I will continue on that path this week. Remember, I said that while Pathila Thoran is a traditional dish prepared, which is a traditional dish prepared during the monsoon by those who are able to, uses wild taro variety that grows there in Kerala. In the same season in Nagaland, people will avoid eating taro leaves. So, if you are someone, for example, following the tradition of Kerala but located, say, in Delhi, what do you do? If you are growing the variety of taro from Kerala yourself, it may just be okay to use it. I will not completely go for it either. The climate and soil of a place shapes the micronutrients and other properties in the plant. Even when you are able to create a microclimate and grow the plant, are they really loaded with the goodness that you expect from them? More importantly, can they host microbes and bacteria which they probably could fight off in the home turf? Maybe they can or cannot is your call. But clearly, going to the market and getting some taro leaves it will not be an option. Likely, they won't even be available if you are going to a traditional market. Supermarket perhaps will carry them if enough people are asking for it. In the example I just gave, I did not include what if you get the stuff from Kerala, sitting in Delhi. Definitely possible. Metro cities and especially Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore, perhaps are able to source daily fruits and vegetables from all across India, even the local specialties. It is good, makes you feel at home. It is okay to indulge sometimes, but since our eating healthy is integrally linked to the health of the planet, then we know that this should only be an occasional and rare thing to do, because otherwise unnecessarily we'll increase the carbon footprint of what we eat, while missing out on all the yummy, fresh, local, and perhaps unknown and unfamiliar greens and vegetables. And some could even be wild. So, of course, we feel homesick and we would like some time to experience the signature food of another region sitting somewhere else. But especially when it comes to fresh produce, let's try to keep it to minimum, keep the imports to a minimum. It's not a rule. But when it comes to produce, products sourced from the wild, please avoid, even when it is not a fresh produce, wild fruits, wild sourced oil, wildflower drink. You find them a lot in the websites now. Please avoid them, even if it says it's sustainably sourced, because you don't know that. I find it funny when some of the websites project, they also say very clearly that they have an ecologist on board who is helping them source, and they have a project which is, you know, part of the livelihood, enhancement in the area. For a particular wild leafy green, tuber or wildflower, for example, the rationale for bottling and selling far and wide is that they are abundant in the season. Abundance does not mean one needs to maximize taking or collecting. An optimal picking is its true in its true sense would be what the people of their locality, those who depend on the forest for their life and livelihood, collects as what they need, not basically to bottle and sell, but what they need for their own consumption and a bit of selling around, which is in adherence to their tradition. The rest goes back to enrich the forest floor and multitude of plants, animals, insects and fungi that link with them. These are essential thinking in your choice of greens. How and where is it grown? Is it local or seasonal? Is it healthy? Is it also healthy for the planet? The answer you get when you ask this question to yourself may or may not something you like or you can act upon. Sometimes we need to make greens that are not seasonal, local, or even organic for various reasons. That is okay. But ask nevertheless. More you ask, more even subconsciously, you will seek a truly healthy alternative that is healthy for us, the wilderness, and the planet as a whole. Enough of this. So what greens can you eat? Greens that are on the trees or which climbs and are cultivated rather than in the wild. These are the things that you can eat in the during the rains. Gourds that have already matured, leaves of gourd. Again, if you are in a heavy rainfall area or in an area that is experiencing unusually long or heavy spell of rains, skip the climbers and go for the greens on the trees. Only if you need to, or else stick to pulses, gourds, and other cultivated vegetables that are already ready. In one article I read, in Kerala during the season, Agathikire should be eaten. Agathikire is the leaves of the Sesbania grandiflora tree, known as vegetable hummingbird tree or bok phul gach in Bengali. But it actually recommends against eating moringa leaves, which is very popular in the recent years and in this season. Though I must say, another article wrote that moringa or drumstick leaves are eaten in this season. So now, who do you believe? They are both actually experts who are commenting on the food in Kerala. My thumb rule is when in doubt, when I cannot verify who is right, I rather avoid. If you know exactly what good to eat and what not, which variety, and have access to that variety, have reasons to go for the weedy wild or other greens, go for it. But I won't. And I doubt I will, I'll stick to the Naga way. Like my friend from there mentioned, avoid wild greens. They are difficult to get and they taste funny in this season. Stick to pulses, dried processed preserved food, pickled or dried and smoked, however they are preserved. And there are various ways of preserving things in this season, right? Okay to eat them. What cultivated food can you eat? In high rainfall areas in the northeast India, here are the followings that can be eaten now, in the middle of the monsoon season, especially if you are missing the leafy green vegetables. Pumpkin leaves, bean leaves, purple yam leaves, or yam leaves of any sort. New bamboo shoots that fall into the category of wild and weedy. Veggies which are then which are actually ready for picking, include squash or chayote, beans, pumpkins, bitternuts, brinjals, etc. The tomatoes and the brinjals that northeast can grow now, here in the pre-monsoon season in Tamil Nadu, that season is already past, and in the next season is yet to come. But here, we do have Agathikire, as I mentioned before, turkey berry or sundakai, bitter gourd, ridge gourd, ash gourd, pushnikai, which is the ash gourd, banana flower, banana stem, neem sprouts. There are many, honestly, even if you decide not to repeat veggies or greens during the rains and eat with combination with pulses, beans and grains, and if you want to make an unique item every day of the week, and yet you will have a lot to choose from and not run out of options. More importantly, they are all seasonal, local, healthy, healthy for you and healthy for the planet. Did you notice? I have mentioned neem sprouts. Neem actually grows wild around here. With the summer rains in the pre-monsoon season, you will find the beautiful red sprouts all over. It is one bitter, and the bitter lovers will say that there are many. It is one bitter that one would love to eat. It is fragrant and tasty. For this, collect the young neem sprouts, which are still red or reddish green in color, and some may turn into fresh, glistening, almost fluorescent green. So young that you do not need to even take the leaf stalk out. Collect a handful. If you have collected fresh, you need not even wash much. Drain and dry as much as possible. Heat ghee in a pot. Let it heat up and make it medium-low. Now, I know the vegan friends are wondering, why not oil? Why it has to be ghee? Actually, while it is a yummy recipe to eat your bitters, and it is also an Ayurvedic potion, and so here the combination of ghee with neem sprout enhances the benefits. Of course, you can have with any good locally sourced oil. It takes very little oil. For a handful, like for a big handful, I would use about 1 tablespoon. So to have that, it will still have a little extra, which is good to mix with the rice. Shake off any water from the neem sprouts and carefully add them to the ghee. They will start spluttering audibly and get shriveled and charred. Switch off and turn the green so that they get evenly fried. It may not look so appealing to the uninitiated. Add this to the when it's still warm, to ideally over a fragrant cooked rice. You can use anything that is growing around in your area, Sira Kasamba, Govindabhog rice, basmati, whatever you prefer. And it is, you know, if you can source a locally produced rice, then it's better. Sprinkle lightly with the salt and eat immediately. I am sure I need not elaborate the benefits of the neem leaves. The new leaves also bring in macronutrients. The leaves are good to take as an immunity booster, detoxing, addressing skin problem, protects the liver, helps in sugar balancing, and so much more. But the neem sprouts in different times in Bengal, where the recipe is from. While adapting the recipe, I chose to make it when the neem sprouts here in Tamil Nadu. That is all. Simple, isn't it? Adaptation doesn't need to be very difficult. With that thought, I will end today. See you next week. Most of India will still be under the spell of southwestern monsoon, and here we might get a few more sprays or sun to remind us that summer is not yet over. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.